Hey, man, he's in this place. Praise God. So excited to know him. Amen. Living for God never gets old. Amen. If you're doing it right, it never gets old. Amen. He is great and mighty. Turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. I'm gonna read out of the New Living Translation. It says, "Indeed, how can people avoid what they don't know is going to happen? None of us can hold back our spirit from departing. None of us has the power to prevent the day of our death. There is no escaping that obligation, that dark battle. And in the face of death, wickedness will certainly not rescue the wicked." Go to verse 17. It says, "I realize that no one can discover everything God is doing under the sun. Not even the wisest people discover everything, no matter what they claim." Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 45. Beginning with verse 5. Verse 5 says, "I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light, and I create darkness. I make peace, and I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things." And then verse 22, it says, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed." I'm going to talk today about God is still in charge. Yes. Amen. You may be seated. God is still in charge. No matter what is going on in your personal life or in the world and in whatever you're facing in your life in general, God is in control. He is not shaken. He is not moved by all the calamity that's happening around us. God is in charge. Amen. And what is happening, he's aware of. He's in charge of it. Amen. So we can rest in the Holy Ghost today, knowing if God's in charge and I'm his child, God is going to take care of me no matter what. No matter what we face in our life, no matter what trial or test that comes against us, God is in charge of it. Amen? And we can know for a surety that God is in control of any situation in our life and be assured that he will take us through it, whatever he has us up against. Amen? God brings things into our life for purposes. Amen? Most likely, it's to reveal us, who we really are, so that he can take us to a place that he wants us to be. Amen. He sees you totally different than you see you. Amen. God don't see you the way you see yourself. Amen. He sees you far greater and higher and doing greater things than you ever could imagine. But a lot of times he allows life to knock us around so that we can get some things out of our life so that he has a chance to put his perfect will and plan into your life. We don't understand that a lot of times, but if we can just stay faithful to God, he will do in us miraculous things. Life is filled with so many things that seem uncertain. Amen. We're living in that time right now. It is so uncertain. We don't know what's coming tomorrow. Amen. Life is, like the commercial says, it's coming at us fast. And it can change. Your whole world can change tomorrow. Tonight, it can happen. It can just be totally changed. But we as Christians are trying to walk with God. And it seems at times that when we cannot understand what we are faced with, what we're up against, it's just happening. It's just, man, this is nothing that we've ever experienced. But it doesn't mean that God's still not in charge. Amen? Don't ever let the enemy tell you that God don't know what he's doing. He's got it. He's got it in his hands. Amen. We used to sing that old song. He's got the whole world in his hands. He really does. He does. He has this whole thing in his hands. He knows the ins and outs. He has every one of our lives in his hands. So much so that he knows the number of hairs on your head. I mean, that's a powerful God. That's an all-amazing, all-knowing, wonderful, powerful creator. He's in control. So I believe God is wanting to help us today to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is clearly in control. We need to walk out of here with our heads held high, not worrying about the politics of life, not worrying about the wars and the rumors of wars and the hurricanes and the fires and all the things, the earthquakes and all of those things that are coming against us in this present world. But that we can walk out of here knowing that God is in control of my life. And if God wants me somewhere, ain't nobody in this earth can ever hinder or stop me from going there. Right. Amen? Amen. Probably the only one that will do that is you. The only thing that'll keep you from doing God's perfect will is you. Amen? So I can put myself aside today and say, God, I'm going to focus on you. I'm going to believe you. I'm going to walk with you. Amen? I want you to be in control of my life. So we're going to look at a situation that seemed like it was not going to go well, but ultimately God was in control. There's so many stories like this in the Word of God, but I chose one today, and it's the story of Joseph. I just want us to go through the story of Joseph so that we can walk out of here today knowing that no matter what kind of mess I find myself in, if I can keep a right heart, amen, if I can keep my eyes on the Lord, God's got plans. Amen. God has got plans for us. Amen. God's got victory for us. God's got powerful things in store for us. But we just got to let God do what he wants to do in us. Amen. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's where God says, hey, let me do my will in your life. I see some things in you, but you got a little bit of rough edges that I want to smooth off, that I want to grind a little off here or take away here or add to here. I want to do something powerful in you. So let's look into the life of Joseph, and let's begin with Genesis 37 and 5. It says, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. My goodness, how many of us have ever had a great thought or a dream or something and we've expressed it and man, it just didn't go well with others. So as we begin, we see immediately that God was in control of the calamity that was to become of Joseph. God had given him the dream. Right from the get-go. That dream didn't come out of thin air. Amen. That dream was expressly given to him from God. And that dream was to set the course of some horrific situations in this man's life. Most likely, what Joseph has, what went through, once we're done going over what he went through, you've never been there physically. But he went through some things. Genesis 37, beginning with verse 26. It says, "And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood?" They wanted to kill him, but they had changed their mind. "Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. So here Joseph finds himself a slave in a foreign land. Didn't know where he was at. Didn't know who, anybody there. He's thankfully not dead. Amen. Thankfully he was spared his life. But he finds himself in a foreign land. Doesn't know anybody. So this is how we feel so many times in God's will. Just like Joseph, we're in a foreign land. We just don't really know what to do, how to operate, where to go, who to talk to. We're just, it's foreign. Everything about it is just not, doesn't seem right, doesn't feel right, doesn't. We're not used to life in this realm. We are enslaved in God's will, and we don't understand why. Anybody ever feel like a slave sometimes? You just make the bricks. You know, it's time to make the donuts. I made the donuts. We feel enslaved in what we're doing. It seems like God is not hearing our prayers, and God is not around to hear us. And we just got to go through the motions of the will of God. We don't understand it. We don't understand why we're out here in Egypt. Just struggling. Just trying to keep our head above water. Genesis 39. "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of a guard in Egypt, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph." I'm here to tell you, God's with you in this struggle. And he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. And it came to pass, from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessings of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. So even though we are strangers in foreign lands, God has his hand on us, and he's blessing us if we keep our spirit right. Amen. Joseph kept his eyes on God in the midst of what seemed to be impossible situations. Come on, imagine yourself thrown into a pit by your brothers. Not by the world. By your brothers. Placed in a place that you could not see your way out of. You didn't know if you was going to perish there. You didn't know if you was ever going to be pulled out. And then finally, yes, you were pulled out, but it got worse. They sold you into a foreign land. And now you're sold into Egypt. And you're in the house of the main man in the land of Egypt. God has a plan. Amen. But we've got to purpose in our hearts that we don't get our minds on the circumstances that has us where we're at. Amen. We got to keep our minds on God. Because he's in control. And we got to understand what I'm going through. God is, it's God. God is in control of this. And I've got to focus. I've got to keep my, God, I'm with you. Help me, God, to be prosperous in everything that I do. Let me have a relationship with you through all this. I don't understand it, but I'm going to keep my eyes on you. And if I do that, we'll make it. You'll make it through what you feel like is bondage and just holding back and keeping you from doing something great. God's got a plan. Genesis 39:7, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me." And that's not tell a story. God allows us to be tempted to see if we can be trusted to do what he is calling us to do. We always want to think temptation comes from the devil. But I'm here to tell us today that the devil has no power over you. Nope, zero, none, zero. The enemy of your soul is powerless in your life. God is in charge. Amen? What's going on in your life is from God. Amen? And God's calling you to greater things. He wants you, he's got something in store for you. He's got something in the future that he's taking you to, but he's wanting to see, can you endure a little temptation? Can you endure something that I'm going to put in front of you that's enticing, that will cause you to want to do this instead of follow me? God's putting a test before us. He puts things in our lives, problems, situations, and says, will you follow me? He asked that of his disciples after a whole crowd of disciples left him, and he says, will you go also, or will you follow me? God tempts us. He says, here's a little bit of the will of God. Or do you want to follow me and get all that I have for you? Amen. God has a plan for our lives. And if we can just focus, God, I'm not leaving you. I'm not going to get focused on the temptation, the things that my flesh just really wants to do. I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to follow you. And you got me here for a reason. So let's get it. Let's figure it out. Let's put it to work in our lives. I need to know. Genesis 39:20. It says, "And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Then go to chapter 40 and verse 2. It says, and Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in the ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. Your situation may seem like a prison, but God is preparing you to be greatly used, and who you assist will be the key to your release. God has given you a place that feels like you're locked up and you can't do anything. But I'm telling you, if you can be of assistance in that place and you can look out for someone in need and you can help them, God is going to use that very soul, that very person, to release you one day. Amen. God's got a plan. I'm telling you, He's in control. Amen. He is in charge. He's in charge of your life. He's in charge of the situation, the problems, the what you're facing, the feeling of being locked up and not able to do anything. God has a plan. But we got to wait. We got to be patient. We just got to keep our eyes on Him. Lord, in my prison right now, in my place where it seems I can't do anything, help me to find that one that is in dire need of a transforming situation in their life, and let me minister to them. Amen. Joseph got his mind off of the bars. He got his mind off of the bad food. He got his mind off of the dungeon, the rats and the mice, and he got his mind on who was with him. And he says, all right, I'm going to make a difference. I'm not worried about where I'm at. God's in control. I think he's starting to realize God's got this. Amen. Still not easy. Still wasn't comfortable. Still wasn't the place I would want to lay my head every night. But he understood. I feel like God's doing something here. I'm still alive. I'm not dead. Something's happening. If I could just keep my eyes on the Lord, I think I'm going to be all right. He didn't understand where God was taking him. He didn't see the future. He didn't see that God, you know, he just knew God was with him. God was keeping him. He was sustaining him. And he understood, I've just got to keep my eyes on him. Let me do what God wants me to do right where I'm at. God has a plan. Verse 8, it says, and they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. So when you keep a right spirit in your prison, and you let God work in you despite your dilemma, God will allow you to plant a seed in others' lives. Amen? God gave him the interpretation. God gave him the understanding of what was going to become of these men. But those men went out and they forgot all about him. He asked them, just make sure you remember me. In this situation, you know, remember me. I gave you an interpretation of your dream. Just speak that someday to somebody and remember me. But they forgot totally about it. And everything that he spoke to them happened exactly the way. God will use you to plant seeds in people's life that you may not see the fruit of it till years later. But one day they're going to be in a bad situation in their life, and all, you know, what's breaking loose in life, and they're gonna, man, I remember back years ago, that person, that they were faithful to God. They were in just as bad a situation as I was in, but they didn't let that bother them, and they helped me even though we were against each other. And man, I remember that. And they'll come back to it, and God can pour His Spirit out and do a great thing. Everything you do for God does not go unnoticed. You think being faithful to church, and you think being faithful to the house of God, you think paying your tithes daily, whatever you do, all you do, prayer, fasting, you think, man, that just goes unnoticed. No, God is calculating. He's writing it down. He's understanding it. He's everything, people you speak to, God is doing something in when you don't see it. Even when you don't feel it, all those things, He's doing something. Don't ever let the enemy say that, oh, it's just no use. It is. There is use in what you do for God. Everything you do, God knows about, and He don't forget it. Amen? He's watching you. Remember, He's in charge. He's got you there. Amen? The enemy don't have you there. Go ahead, Brother Britt. Yes, and what He's trying to work out of you is the most important thing at the moment. We've got to understand we're not perfect, as much as you think you are. I'm not perfect. God is molding me and still shaping me. I'm still on the wheel. He's working out the imperfections of my life. Amen. He's making something good out of me and out of you. God is forming and molding and shaping us. Our flesh doesn't like to be changed. We don't like to be bent and molded and shaped into what He is trying to form us in. 1 Peter 5 and 6, it says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. God has the time. He's already, He knows when it is. He knows when He's going to put you where He wants you for the purpose He has for you. God has a plan. He's allowing you to be formed. And when He is ready, He will bring you out to do what He is preparing for you to do. Amen? But don't jump off the wheel until God has you shaped to the vessel that He needs you to be. Genesis 41, beginning with verse 8, it says, And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for the magicians. This is talking about Pharaoh. For all the musicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream. But there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, but me inward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker, and we dreamed a dream one night, and I and he, and we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew servant to the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dream. To each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored into mine office, and him he hanged. How would you like to be that guy? You hear your dream, and it's not good. Wow. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not me in me, for God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Joseph's starting to get it now. He says, man, it's not in me. I can't tell you nothing. But God can tell you. When our eyes are fixed on the Lord, everything becomes about him. All the glory is off of us. It's now on him. So by Joseph keeping in tune with God through all of his what seemed like bad dilemmas, God was able to speak to him the interpretation of the dreams. He gave him the answer that Pharaoh was looking for. 41:39, Genesis 41:39, it says, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. My. If we are patient and don't get ahead of God, he sets us up in great position of authority. God wants us to keep our eyes on him. Amen. God's got a plan. He's not shaken by what shakes you. Amen. And if we will trust him, if we will follow him, he will put you in great authority and position and place to do what he was calling you to do from the beginning. What was misunderstood by many. Genesis 45, beginning with verse 1, it says, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of the Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you and posterity in the earth, and to have your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house, and ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father, and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. I just feel the Holy Ghost when I read this story about someone following, and throughout all the situation they're going through, cannot see what is the future. But somewhere along the way, he had to realize that I'm in the perfect will of God. I know it was a bad situation that started out that sent me here. And man, my brothers were pretty cruel to me. They beat me up. They threw me down in that pit, lied to dad about it. They did all kinds of evil things. Thank God they didn't kill me. They sold me. But man, all throughout all this, I'm beginning to see God is in charge. God is doing this. God is taking me somewhere. He's doing something. And it began to unfold. And right before his eyes, he began to see what God had planned for him. Amen. If we could just focus our eyes on God and get ourselves off of the struggle. Amen. So many times we get caught up in the struggle and we lose sight of God. But I promise you, get your eyes back on the Lord. God is taking you somewhere. He's got a plan. He's going to do the perfect will of God in your life, but you got to stay in tune with him. Amen? Stay in tune with him. He's going to take you somewhere. I close with this. God is still in charge. Amen? Friend, don't be afraid of what's happening right now. Just know God's in charge. Amen? God's not going to let you be forsaken. If you're baptized, if you're born again, you've repented and you've been baptized in Jesus' name, and you're living the best life you can according to his word, I mean, God's got you. And there ain't nobody can change that. There's no situation in your life that will cause God to leave you or forsake you. He's going to take you to his end goal. But our goal, our purpose, our plan is we got to keep our eyes on him. We got to stay in tune with him. We've got to talk to him. We've got to submit ourselves to him in the trial, in the test, in the turmoil, in the prison, in whatever situation he's got you in. So no matter what you're facing in your life, if you will keep your attitude right and allow God to use you in every situation he takes you through, he will exalt you in the right time. Jeremiah 29:11-13, it says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. He's already got your plan figured out. He knows what he's making out of you. He already knows where you're going to be. He already knows your life is the end from the beginning. He sees it. He's not shaken by anything in between. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search me with all your heart. God is telling us today, let's stand. Seek me with all your heart. Get your focus off the winds, the waves, the turmoil, the struggle, the politics, all of these things. Get your mind on me. Focus on me. Get your life off of your struggle, your shortcomings. Just trust me. Put all that other junk under my blood. Let me cast all your cares upon me. That's why he cares for you. Amen. Jesus Christ cares for you today. He knows what he wants out of you. And if we will stay in tune, if we will hear the Lord, if we will trust in him, he will show us his perfect will and plan for our lives. He'll unfold it right before our eyes. And my friend, when that happens, hold on. Because life will go much faster when you're in the perfect will of God. Amen. You got to hold on. Praise God. Lord, thank you for your word today, God. For an example, Lord God, that we can see in the word of God. That we can apply to our lives to know, Lord, beyond a shadow of a doubt, Lord. It may seem like we're in the worst situation of our whole entire life, but God, you are in charge. And you are, Lord, the end from the beginning, God. You have it all figured out. You've got it understood, and you know it. You know the ins and outs, and you know what you're doing. You know how you're preparing us to do great, miraculous things for your will and purpose. God, help us to keep our eyes on you and stay in charge. Stay in tune with the one that's in charge of all things. Thank you for your love, your mercy today. In Jesus' mighty name. God bless you today. Amen. Take some time to greet one another, fellowship a little bit.